If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic!
What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is May 1st, 2024. Jonathan Osborne here. Joined by producer Kevin Tucker. Producer Kevin, the Magic lose tonight 104 to 103 in Cleveland in game five, and now they trail 3-2. How are we feeling?
Well, definitely different than I felt after game four. You know, coming into game five, I was feeling pretty confident, not overly confident, but I'm feeling curious, because I'm curious how this young team is going to respond to having their backs up against the wall for the first time in their NBA careers on Friday. Obviously, we'll talk more about that later, but all in all, I'm doing okay. And I guess looking forward to talking more about this game five with you.
Yeah, it was a tough loss, obviously, but it just doesn't feel like the end of the world. Like I just can see the big picture and like what Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner have showed us in these last three games. Like, you just know that you have two guys that, like, in a playoff series, when you need them to have big games, they're capable of doing that. Now, have they been able to put consecutive games together? No. I think we'll talk a little bit about that. But we're recording this just before 1 a.m. I've now driven back from Orlando, mostly in silence, apart from listening to the post-game pressers from Mosley and from Paolo and from Franz. With shout out to Jamal Mosley, finished second in coach of the year voting, well deserved. But yeah, a lot of sighs, a lot of those on the way home, because man, this game was just right there, and literally comes down to just making one or two more plays and you're able to pull this one off. So that really sucks. I want to let you all know, obviously, game six coming up on Friday. If you have the ability to be at that game, you need to be at that game. We need to be going crazier than games three and four. It needs to be an awesome atmosphere for our guys. They're going to need every bit of help. Cleveland is going to be desperate. As much as they have enjoyed playing at home and winning, they do not want to play a game seven with this Orlando Magic team. They barely escaped and barely survived this game five. They do not want to be in that situation again. So they'll be playing with a lot of, you know, desperation and urgency. I can guarantee you that. So we're going to need to bring it Friday. We're going to have the Six Fan Show being filmed outside of Kia following that game. Our boy Ben will be out there. So after the game, hopefully, you know, the Magic play really well. And we force a game seven, and you could talk about how excited you are, you know, about game six and how we're looking forward to game seven. And then if there is a game seven, obviously we'll have another watch party at Wall Street Plaza. All three of the watch parties so far have been incredible. Tonight was definitely the best one, and it had been raining a little bit earlier in Orlando, so I wasn't sure what the turnout was going to be. But folks sort of trickled in, you know, during the first quarter, and man, that place was alive in that fourth quarter. It was so much fun. But we'll have another watch party at Wall Street if there is a game seven, and then there will be another episode of the Six Fan Show that will be filmed after that game. Hopefully we're celebrating a series win and we talking about, you know, Boston or Miami, whoever that ends up being.
And can I just also add, after game six, win, lose, draw, doesn't matter, on Friday, we'll be live, the three of us again, Jonathan, Luke, myself, live on YouTube after that game. Again, hopefully it's a fun one, celebrating forcing game seven. Maybe it's a recap of the series and the season and a farewell to the season. Who knows? But either way, you'll want to tune into that one live on YouTube after the game.
Yeah, I really hope that that's not like a series and season autopsy kind of episode, because that'll be really, really depressing. But Kevin, earlier in the day, we got news that Jared Allen, you know, dealing with the rib injury, was going to be questionable. And then 25 minutes prior to tip, he was ruled out, and it just felt like, man, like, who knows how much time he's going to miss. But game five on the road, no Jared Allen, who is, I mean, I don't think it's a crazy take to say the first four games he was Cleveland's best player. And man, it just felt like you really needed to get this one. You don't end up getting this one. You get out to another slow start. And then the Magic are sort of able to chip away at the lead a little bit. I think they were down by as much as 10 in that first half, if I'm not mistaken. But you're able to go on a nice run to end the first half. You're down one. And then we'll talk about this, but the second half was just blow for blow. It was really a heavyweight title fight. These teams just throwing haymaker after haymaker at one another. Each time the Magic went on a run in this game, JB Bickerstaff maybe has not been perfect throughout the series, but I felt like his utilization of his timeouts was almost perfect in this game for the most part. Each and every time the Magic gained momentum and went on a run, there was a Cleveland timeout, and they almost always responded with a run of their own to push the lead back out to six or seven. Magic go on another run, another Cleveland timeout, like clockwork. There were 17 lead changes in this game, and there were 8 total lead changes in this series prior to tonight. And I mean, we're going to talk about Paolo Banchero. I know that 39 points in this game, just if there was any doubt in your mind that this kid is an absolute superstar ascending, 39 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Yes, the 5 turnovers, we'll talk about that, but he was 14 of 24 from the floor, 4 of 7 from behind the arc, 7 of 8 at the free throw line in a game where free throws were a problem. Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner were not the problem at all. And Paolo just made shot after shot in that second half. He was the reason that you had a chance to win this game, you know, at the end, down to about 90 seconds ago, pulls a early shot clock 3, not the shot that you want. I know you've talked about that in the post game live. People have talked about that on, you know, Magic Twitter and the subreddit and so on and so forth. But I really can't fault the kid. He had it going. He was making everything. He had hit a 3 just a couple of possessions before. Do you want to see a paint touch on that possession? Absolutely. If Paolo makes that shot, we probably win this game. We're talking about just like a legendary 40-point performance and how awesome he was. So I don't want to harp on it too much. But this was one of those games where, like, can he get a little bit of help from anybody else? And that just really never came. And yes, you lose this game by 1. You really lose this game by 4. Paolo hits a 3 at the end that Cleveland is totally fine with you taking. But this game just came to... I don't want to blame it on any one play. This is not the game to do that. There were numerous plays throughout the game that could have and maybe should have went the Magic's way, and it didn't. But man, what a performance. And it just makes this loss sting a little bit more.
Yeah, you said it. I was literally just about to say it ends up being, like you said, 4-point game basically, but really it's a one possession game coming down the stretch, right? Franz gets that you know, layup going, you know, to the basket. First off, great play by Evan Mobley, by the way. Was an incredible block. Like, hats off to him. What I was gonna say was, you mentioned, like, there's not one play that you can pinpoint, be like, that's where you lost the game. And that's 100% true. There's a lot of different moments that you could look at, and different players you could look at as maybe the reason why you just came a little bit short. One of them for me is like the end of that first quarter. I know you can't win a game in the first quarter, but you can lose it. But the end of that first quarter, dude, like, backbreaker. You get Cole Anthony, gets a layup with like 54 seconds to go in the quarter. His only field goal, by the way. then Darius Garland hits a triple. Then Cole misses a 3. Then the Cavs come back and Marcus Morris misses a jumper, get off, and the rebound gets batted around. Mo Wagner gets it, you know, has that terrible pass, and they end up with a Caris LeVert three. So it's a quick 6-0 run there for the Cavs to make it a 10-point game at the end of the fourth, or at the end of the first quarter, when it was just a 4-point game just a mere seconds earlier. Like a moment like that, like, again, you can't win a game in the first quarter. And not to say that's the moment that lost you the game, but when you look over a course of 48 minutes in a one possession game, things like that can add up. Missed free throws. You know, Mo missed a couple free throws. Things like that. Turnovers. You're talking about Paolo with the five turnovers. Again, a couple of them, like, it's hard, but we've been seeing these trends that happen over the course of an entire season. But like the jump passes, man, like it's just brutal. It's brutal. It's hard to watch sometimes. Sometimes he gets away with it. Sometimes it's good. Even like the Wendell dump off, you know, there late in the game, that was a jump pass. Like he left his feet and he could see it happening and was able to do it. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't always work out like that. So yeah, different moments like that really hurt. And then, like I just mentioned, the play at the very end, Franz Wagner, I didn't hate that. Like, I know some people on Twitter, you know, thought maybe he could have done something different. I didn't hate it. You know, maybe could he have gone with his left to try and give a little more space between him and Mobley. Sure. I think Franz legitimately thought he had a step. I thought he had a step. Like I thought it was good, but you know, Mobley obviously has that wingspan and was able to make the play. So at the end of the day, that's an experienced Cavs team. The Cavs finally get something for Max Strus for the first time this entire series. He was a difference maker. Marcus Morris Sr. was a difference maker in this game. Guys that, you know, have a lot of experience in the playoffs and in big games, and you'd expect them at some point to play well and to make a difference. And again, you'd expect this at some point in the series to finally have a close game. It finally happened. Magic came up literally a possession short in their first ever clutch playoff experience for all these guys. And so I'm not mad. I'm maybe a little bit sad, maybe a little bit, you know, bummed, but I wouldn't say I'm mad. I'm not disappointed. The effort was there. The hustle was there. All of that was there. You just came up one or two plays short.
Yeah, for me, what this really came down to is just a mix of Cleveland's experience and our lack of experience, right? Like Cleveland is not only have like this team, you know, together, like they've been through a playoff series last year, but you've got Max Strus, who has literally played in the NBA finals. You have Donovan Mitchell, who has played in countless playoff series. Marcus Morris, who has played in multiple playoff series. Tristan Thompson, who has played in multiple NBA finals. Like their experience in your lack of experience. I mean, you know, you lose Gary Harris for a good chunk of the second half in this game. Seems like any time that Gary has had injuries like this, specifically like a hamstring injury, which is like a nagging type of injury, which always seems like the type of injury that Gary Harris is afflicted by. My guess is Gary is probably done for the series. Like if he's back by Sunday, you know, in the next 5 days from a hamstring strain, that would be a miracle. It'd be nothing short of a miracle, just given his injury history and the way that he recovers from injuries like this. Gary's probably done for the series. But like even before the injury, yes, you know, he's giving you a lot defensively, but offensively, apart from, I think it was game two or game three, Gary is like just giving you basically nothing offensively, which is really a shame. He's now been in like a 2 or 3 month long shooting slump when he had just been shooting the ball so well. So the drop off from Gary has killed you. We've talked about this, but playoffs, a lot of times, like playoff series, come down to role players, and role players just always tend to play better at home. And that's exactly what we have seen play out in this series, especially for the Magic, right? Like Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony, Jonathan Isaac, a lot of those guys played really well offensively at home, and that hasn't exactly carried on the road for us. Like Jalen Suggs, 5 of 14, you know, 0 of 5 from 3 tonight. He had some big plays in the second half. Like he was a big part of the Magic sort of getting that lead. But it's just like, man, if you get a couple of those other shots to fall in, I don't want to make a big deal about Jalen offensively, because like Donovan Mitchell has not been good in this series, in large part due to Jalen Suggs just hounding him defensively full court each and every possession. So yes, we need a bit more from Jalen, but Jalen just may not be the guy that's going to be like the third scorer on this team. Like, as this team continues to evolve and they sort of shift pieces around, Jalen just might end up being like the fourth option offensively when you, if you're able to get, I don't want to talk too much about free agency, but if you're able to get another scorer on this team, the pecking order should be Paolo, Franz, whatever other guy you're going to come in to score, and then probably Jalen Suggs. So he's probably asked to be like being asked to do a bit too much offensively with this current team. But I mean, we could just go up and down the box score here. Cole Anthony, I know you mentioned it, 104, you know, in 11 and a half minutes. That's just not going to be good enough, right? For a guy that we probably need closer to 10 to 12 points a game in a series like this, especially when Markel and Cole Anthony are, anytime they're being put in a pick and roll with Garland or with Donovan Mitchell, it's ending in either those guys getting a look at the rim or a dump off to one of their bigs for an easy dunk. And if those guys, like Markel, I feel like had good moments tonight, 3 of 3 from the floor, 7 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, had 2 turnovers. He had some good finds, you know, offensively. But if Markel is just going to give you like subpar defense and 7 points in almost 15 minutes, I just don't see how you are going to play these guys extended minutes. And we had some minutes tonight of a Markel, Cole Anthony, Joe Ingles lineup. And I'm just sitting here like, what are we doing? Like, our perimeter defense is just non-existent. And that's in large part why, you know, Strus was able to be found for open threes. There were, you know, plenty of dump offs to, you know, Evan Mobley tonight. It's just, that's been an issue really throughout this series. Maybe not so much game 3 and 4 when the defense was literally perfect. If the defense is not literally perfect on the road, you're going to have a tough time, you know, winning some of these games. So, credit to the Magic's effort. That was absolutely 100% there. The lack of experience is showing itself, I think, maybe a little bit with Jamal Mosley and needing to have a shorter lease. Like, we have not really seen that many times throughout the regular season. We've seen it a bit with Markel. I felt like in the first couple of games, had that short leash. Okay, he just doesn't have it. I think, you know, game one, Markel played like six minutes or something like that. That, I feel like these games are getting more and more intense. Each possession feels bigger and bigger the further that we go into these series. And you just have to have a shorter leash on some of these guys. If it comes down to you having to play 8 guys, then you play 8 guys. You know, Cleveland has certainly done that. Like Sam Merrill, 5 minutes, 41 seconds tonight. They tried to get him some looks. It wasn't working. So they were quick to sort of, you know, pull that on him.
Or even Niang not playing at all tonight.
Niang not playing at all. Luke and I talked about that on the last episode. Like, hey, what are some of the things that Cleveland can do to try to, you know, mix this up a bit? And that was like the first thing that I recommended, like just not playing George Niang, going a bit more with their veterans and Tristan Thompson, Marcus Morris. I think they did that to an extent tonight because you didn't have Jared Allen. JB Bickerstaff's hand was sort of forced in that regard. But yeah, like we made adjustments in game 3 and 4 going to Wendell in the starting lineup. Now JB Bickerstaff has made some adjustments. I'm guessing we've seen the last of George Niang. And now it feels like, hey, the ball is sort of, you know, swinging back to us. We need to make some adjustments. And if Markel and Cole aren't on like 10 offensively, if they're getting cooked the way that they were tonight defensively, I just don't see how you play them.
Yeah, for me, I mean, defense aside, whether they're playing all defense, level defense, or no defense at all, I don't think this team has a chance if Cole Anthony scores 2 points in any game. Like, Cole Anthony has this, let me put it this way, this team has been structured in such a way that Cole Anthony has to be impactful offensively for that bench unit. That bench unit was so good all season long. Cole Anthony started the season really well, obviously fell off a cliff the rest of the way. Unfortunately, that has carried over into the postseason. And on nights like tonight, where the starting unit, you know, you get 39 from Powell, obviously, an inefficient 14 from Franz, an inefficient 13 from Jalen, and nothing else really. Wendell got 7. But outside of that, your bench unit has to step up, which it did for large portions of the season. And the biggest offensive part of that is Cole Anthony. And so a night like tonight, or really a series like this, because it's not just tonight, I mean, Cole has had good moments, especially at home, but by and large has not been an impactful player in this series for this team. And that's never going to get it done, right? Like 2 points for Cole. I think a lot of people love Cole. We know what he can bring off the bench. We obviously haven't seen that over the last two thirds of the season. And so on a night like tonight, I was really hoping Cole would have a big game. I don't know if it's just the Cavs are a terrible matchup because they don't allow him to get in the paint as much. Obviously, he's a smaller guard, and that hasn't opened up the rest of his offensive game or what it is. But yeah, 2 points for Cole is never going to do it. And yeah, Markel, I mean, yeah, he got cooked a lot. Got cooked a lot on the defensive end, him and Cole. And so that was really difficult to watch. And then going back to the three-pointers, I mean, the first half, J.I. had a couple wide open ones. Couldn't get it to go. Mo Wagner had an open one. Cole had an open one. And obviously Jalen Suggs, five of them over the course of the game. You get any one or two of those to go, and this is a different conversation. But yeah, what's the most interesting to me, I think, from this, and something I think the Magic will take away from this game, is that in spite of everything that I just mentioned, in spite of all of that, you lose this game by a possession or two, right? Like going up and down the box score outside of Paolo, nobody was that great, especially offensively, and you still only lose this game by one or two possessions, right? And so I think if the Magic can force a game seven, which I think is a big if, by the way, as well as the Magic played in game three and four at home, there is absolutely a chance that Cleveland comes in and plays really well in game six.
Especially now without Gary Harris. Right. I can almost guarantee that you won't have Gary Harris on Friday.
Right. And so if the Magic were to force a game six, I don't think this Magic team is going to be scared of a game seven in Cleveland. Like, I really don't. Like, they haven't been scared of anything all season long. So I think Magic fans can take, you know, confidence in that. And I think they can look back on games one, two, and five and go, one and two didn't play great, lost by double digits, even though we had it in single digits in the fourth quarter in both of those games. Game five, we lost by a couple possessions. And, you know, outside of Paolo, you know, team scored, you know, 60-something points, you know. So I think there'll be some confidence there. I don't think that'll be an issue, but you got to win game six. Obviously, it's a Captain Obvious statement, but I think that's going to be a lot tougher than games three and four were.
I was thinking about this on the drive home. I really feel like this series is just going to end up coming down to Cleveland having home court advantage. Like, I really believe that if the Magic had four home games in this series, just, and I might feel very differently about this after Friday, depending upon, you know, how we play, but just how much better this team has looked at home versus the road. I feel like there's a good chance that, hey, if you pick up that win in Charlotte or Houston at the end of the year and you end up tied with Cleveland, and then it goes to the second tiebreaker, the Magic winning their division and they end up the four seed. I feel like this series, you know, could have went a little bit different. And I don't want to sit here and talk about, you know, this series as if it's over, because what was really encouraging for me and something that I feel like the Magic can sort of draw from is just how great they looked that final game against Milwaukee. Like, we talk about, oh, this team hasn't really had their backs up against the wall. That felt like our backs were up against the wall, true. That game 82, right? Like, if you don't win that game, you're headed to the play-in, and then who knows what can happen. So, yeah, that's not exactly win or go home, but it's pretty close. And this team, like, they came out swinging in that game. So I'm feeling as confident as you can going into a game six. And this is just really uncharted territory for this team. You know, we've talked about their lack of experience, but I feel about as good as I could following this game, because you were right there. You make a few more plays, you get this win in Cleveland, and then you're coming home with a chance to clinch on Friday. And as we've said, you're a couple of possessions away from that being the reality. Now, that's not our reality. How bad does this team, you know, want this to go to a game seven and you know, sort of you know, extending their season? Regardless of what happens the next couple of games, I'm just so proud of this team, the way that they played specifically tonight, the way they played all season, the way that they've just really overachieved and exceeded everyone's expectations. We talked about this after those two wins in Orlando. We're playing with house money, right? Like, yep. All we could ask for is, like, Don't lose in four. Don't lose in five. If it ends up going to six, like the flaws of this team, the fatal flaws of this team have been made very apparent. If you lose this series, it was literally because you could not knock down three-pointers and free throws. Should be really apparent to this front office. You have Paolo, you have Franz, you have another great piece in Jalen Suggs. There are a few other guys that you probably want to, you know, keep around for, you know, continuity and that are still really nice pieces. But you know what you need to address to really be able to take this team to the next step. So I've been really encouraged from, you know, what we've seen throughout this series. I was encouraged by what we saw tonight. I am terrified of a game seven in Cleveland just because you haven't looked great in Cleveland. You just haven't. You were able to sort of muck this game up just enough to keep the Cavs within, you know, arm's length. It didn't feel like they played that well. They shot 43% from behind the arc, 35% or 43% from the floor and 35% from behind the arc. You know, they only had 10 turnovers. I think maybe that's like the biggest positive that you can take away from the Cavs offensively. But the Magic just were able to sort of muck up this game a bit. This game, game five, is closer to what I thought we would see from the first four games. And it took us to get to game five for everything to sort of come back to where we thought everything would fall. But yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. Kevin, I know that we've got some other things to talk about, sort of, you know, big picture, you know, with this this series and some other things that we're going to need to keep an eye on. But I want to take a quick second to give our patrons a very special shout out. We have a brand new patron, actually. Shout out to Suggs Muggs, who joined at our Hall of Fame tier. Anytime we have a brand new patron, we give them a very special shout out, and we give a special shout out to all of our Hall of Fame and Elite tier patrons. If you would like a shout out like that, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow, where you can join at any of our tiers starting at $2 a month if you just want to help support the show. And then we have additional tiers that have additional benefits as well. We're going to start by shouting out our friends over at Court Cousins, and then Drew Gooden, Armin, Carson Tulo, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Normal Magic Player History, Gabe Gaines Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong, Donkey Punch, Dave, Paolo and Franz's Warmth, Pierre A, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Danimal, Bobby Skinner, Goody93, Teddy Sylvia, Eric Lopez, Fuchsia, Bill Fulton, Edmund Lagone, Jose Esquilin, Caleb Pete, Cannibalism, Time, Mr. TV, ESPN Really Sucks, Gear95, Shred, Junior Bruce, Half Freak, and Shahan177, Obi the Don, Himlo Ban Himro, RMProv221, Ray Pastrana, Magic Kid714, Mysterious Mosley, Victor Cologne, Irish Magic Mike, Austin Lampy, Random Hustle, Only Franz Maria, Keith Wallace, Fritz Currency Kev, Rub Sal, Kason Green, Santi Leon, Kane Eckler, The Distract, Ahmad Simsa, Chantu, Tom Gadsden, Deader, Richard Tuttle, Jeremiah Quintero, Magic Wire, Debo1980, Magic Matt, Michael Thompson, Mama Richmond, Next Napa, What's Up Playoffs 2024, Dylan Fay, Sammy, David Duff, Smith Sheiks, Bueno Times, Stantino1995, and Suggs Muggs. Again, you can find us and join the Patreon at patreon.com/thesixmanshow.
Also want to shout out our friends at Jam Hot Chicken. Jam Hot Chicken is an awesome hot chicken location there in Winter Park at 400 West New England Avenue. Not only are they big fans of the Six Man Show, they're gigantic Orlando Magic fans. Literally, what was it, game three? They literally closed down early so that their employees could go to the game there in Orlando at game three. It's an awesome place, and I promise you guys, you will not regret going to check them out. If you've never been before, we always advise people, just as they do, whatever you think your spice level is, like your level of comfort is, go a level down because they don't mess around with the spice. So if you think you like hot, go ahead and just try the mild first and see how that goes. But anyway, it's awesome. We're big fans of Jam Hot Chicken. Quite literally the best chicken in Central Florida, whether it's hot or not. Even if you get no spice, just a plain, it's awesome. I highly recommend the box. It's the best thing there. I think fries, slaw, pickles, chicken, comeback sauce, all the good stuff, all in one little box. But anyway, whatever you get, just be sure you check out Jam Hot Chicken in Winter Park.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Kevin, it doesn't look like you're going to have Gary Harris, you know, here in game six. Obviously, Jamal Mosley after the game said they're going to wait until they get back to Orlando, do some imaging and evaluate Gary. But a hamstring strain, he left the game, wasn't able to return. Again, just given his history, he does not bounce back from injuries like this very quickly. If you don't have Gary for game six, Kevin, what do you think that does to the Magic's odds to win that game? And what do you think Jamal Mosley does with the lineup?
I'll answer.
I'm just going to say this. You have to play Anthony Black. If you don't play Anthony Black and you're going to trot out Markelle Fultz and Cole Anthony out there to try to slow down Darius Garland, we don't have a chance. Put Jonathan Isaac in the starting lineup. Put him on Darius Garland. That right now feels like our only option.
Jonathan, he's not playing Anthony Black.
I know. I don't understand it, man. People are going to say like a rookie is not going to make the difference in a playoff series. At least prove to me that that is true.
Right. Yeah, you know I'm right there with you, but no, he's not going to do that. It's been proven. I've said it many times on the postgame live, sometimes on this show. I love Jamal Mosley. I hope he's the coach of this team for a long, 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 long time. I just don't understand why Anthony Black doesn't play, especially moments like this, right? Like
I will never understand it.
I won't. And again, I don't know if that's him. I don't know if that's Jeff Weltman. I have no idea. But regardless, I think it'd be great to see Anthony Black, honestly, in the starting lineup, maybe even. Like, why not throw him at Darius Garland / Donovan Mitchell for 15 minutes of this game? You know, maybe he doesn't end the game. Maybe Cole or Markelle ends the game. But what's really crazy is if I were a betting man and I was given like, okay, you have to put money down. He's either going to start, and there's other options, but let's just say if you had to pick, Jamal Mosley's either going to start Anthony Black or Caleb Houston. I'd have to put all my money on Caleb Houston.
It would be Caleb Houston, man.
He's proven it before. He would start Caleb Houston over Anthony Black, just in this kind of situation. It's messed up. Regardless, what do I think will happen? Will he start J.I. and break up that bench unit in that way when it has been proven over the course of five games that J.I.
You got to break it up somehow.
I know, but I don't know. I feel like he's going to start Markelle. That's what I think. I think it's going to be Markelle and Jalen. That's my prediction.
That.
Yep. As far as what it'll do to this game, I don't even know what to think. I'll be honest. I have a pretty bleak outlook on game six, which stinks. But I don't know. I just feel like I think odds are they'll get Jared Allen back. I mean, you get two extra days here to rest. I think he'll be back. You're not going to have Gary Harris. And I don't know. Donovan Mitchell's due for a really good game. Hasn't had that, especially in Orlando. Now, can the Magic play up to that level and prevent that from happening? Or even if he does have a really good game, can the Magic do enough to overcome that? Yeah, I think so. But in my mind, I feel like the fairy tale is closer to the end than it has been yet. And I hate that feeling. Maybe I'm just being too pessimistic, but will that have an impact, Gary being out? I don't know. But we'll see. I mean, this team has proven me wrong many, many times this season. So I would love nothing more than to be proven wrong again on Friday.
Yeah, I think the thing that is allowing me to hold on to hope is just how much better a lot of the guys looked offensively at home, particularly Jalen Suggs. Honestly, like this sounds crazy, but I'm not all that worried about Donovan Mitchell because Jalen has done such a great job. Like if he's just going to knock down tough shots, then so be it. But right. I'm confident that Jalen is going to make it as tough as possible on Donovan Mitchell. The big thing is just going to be, what do you do with Darius Garland? Because if Donovan Mitchell is knocking down tough shots and Darius Garland is really just doing whatever he wants, that is going to open up things for Evan Mobley and for Strus and for Jared Allen if he's able to return. That, to me, that is the element that you can let one of those guys go crazy. You cannot let both of them go crazy because then it's just going to open up everything for everybody else, especially with Garland's ability to play make. This is potentially the last game of the season. To me, you've got to empty the clip, right? If something isn't trying, like if something isn't working, you have to keep trying to find something that works. And I just feel like Anthony Black has earned this type of moment. Each and every time he's been called upon this season, more often than not, the kid has come in and has made an impact and has made winning plays and has contributed to winning. And It's not because somebody else is playing badly. Like, this isn't, to me, this shouldn't be a political thing. Look, Gary Harris is injured. We don't want to disrupt this entire bench unit with moving either Markel Fultz, Cole Anthony, or Jonathan Isaac into the starting lineup. So look, we're going to put Anthony Black into the starting lineup. Gary Harris isn't knocking down threes anyways. So if you're concerned with Anthony Black maybe not being perceived as a shooter, like, when was the last time Caleb Houston had a good game? Like, I just don't know what we're really arguing here. Like, it, to me, it's such an easy choice to put Anthony Black into the starting lineup. And it makes me sick that as I say that, I'm almost positive that it's not going to happen. I would love to be pleasantly surprised here, but Jamal Mosley has just been given so many opportunities to, like, give the keys to the young kid and say, hey man, you've earned this. Go out there and make some plays for us. And I will never understand why Anthony Black has not been given the opportunity.
100% agree. The only thing I'll add is I Jonathan knows I like to daydream, right? Like, my mind wanders sometimes during the day, and I send these guys these ridiculous texts. But as you're talking, I'm just sitting here picturing Caleb Houston starting and going like 4 of 6 from three, and it's like the Caleb game.
I would love nothing
forces
more than
forces game
that.
Seven. Oh man, bring that on. I think it's possible he starts. I really do. Like, he started another moments late in this season to not good results. Obviously, he, like you said, hasn't shot the ball well, especially down the stretch. Those last several games of the season when, not several games of the season, but during the last third of the season when he was given starts, he didn't shoot the ball well. But I mean, he's a shooter. Shooter's going to shoot. If he gets those open looks that Gary gets, who knows? He might be able to knock down a couple and get going. So, very, very intrigued to see what happens. The only other thing I'll add to this, Jonathan, I know obviously historically Gary has not bounced back from injuries like this quickly, / the, you know, medical and training staff have not allowed him to come back from it quickly. However, this is the playoffs, right? Like, if it's not a serious injury, if he feels even like 80%, there's a good chance he's going to go for it. Now, do I think he will be at that level? I don't know. But there's a big difference between, you know, a random Tuesday in Charlotte where he might have sat this game out in February. I mean, like, he might have sat this game out with a slight injury versus win or go home game 6 in the playoffs. You know, who knows? Again, I'm not going to sit here and say I think it's probable, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was like Gary Harris is playing on Friday just because, you know, obviously the gravity of the situation and he knows how important he is to this team, even though he's not knocking down shots. So anyway, I just wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. It's the playoffs. You never know.
If it was almost any other injury, yeah, I would be a bit more confident. But the hamstrings, just like historically, is such a hard thing to bounce back from, like, relatively quickly. So,
yep.
Again, I would love to be pleasantly surprised if Gary is able to go on Friday, because that would alleviate a lot of the questions and the discussion that we just had with him. But yeah, I don't really feel great about that. I do just want to take a minute again to talk about Paolo Banchero and just how phenomenal he was. It's crazy that now we're at the point where you're almost expecting performances like this, where, like, he takes an 18-foot contested fallaway jumper and you're like, there's a relatively good chance that that's going to go in. And it's crazy because a lot of times, like, oh, this isn't a good shot. You're like, oh my, yeah. Okay, he made it again. A couple of possessions later, oh, that's a bad shot. Oh, he made it again. And he just sort of keeps making those. We just have a superstar on our hands. I don't know any other way to put it. I feel like at times we've said that this year and, like, half tongue in cheek, and maybe there's a little bit of bias behind that. I'm so far past that. Like, this kid is one of the best up and coming players in the league. When we talk about needing, you know, a top 5-10 player in the NBA to eventually win an NBA title, I'm all in on Paolo Banchero eventually being able to be that type of guy. As long as he can eliminate the jump pass, we're going to be just fine. Honestly, yeah. He was just like, sensational is not a good enough adjective for how good he was tonight.
21-year-olds don't do what he did tonight. And this isn't a one-off. I mean, he just did this in game 3. You know, I mean, his first playoff experience and against a team that's pretty dang good defensively too, right? This is not some you know, walk over like first half of the season Indiana Pacers team that, you know, gives up 127 a game or whatever it was. Like, it's a good defensive team for all their flaws, offensively and otherwise, coaching, all that stuff. Cleveland, that's a good defensive team. So he's doing that, you know, shot 4 of 7 from three, only missed one free throw tonight. I mean, again, 21-year-olds don't do what he's doing. It's really, really special. And nights like this, and we'll have a lot of time to talk about the offseason, a lot of time. But the only thing I'll say about it is this. Nights like this are the reason, like, I go, no, I don't want Paul George. No, I don't want fill in the blank, whatever superstar that some people want to come into this team and help this team be better next season. I don't want any of those, because all they're going to do is take opportunities for growth away from Paolo Banchero. And I don't want that. I'm okay with being a 45 to 50 win team for the next couple of years as he gets better and better, as Franz gets better and better, as Jalen gets better and better, and all those things. I'm okay with being a middle of the pack playoff Eastern, you know, playoff team in the Eastern Conference as he continues to grow. And then one day when he gets in that 24, 25, 26, 27 year old range, when he is in his prime, that's when we go for it. That's when we go for it, when he's there. And again, the fact that he's doing these things at 21 years old, it's hard for me to like wrap my brain around it. Not just as like a basketball fan in general, because I mean, he's doing things that like he's doing stuff that like LeBron has done and Luka has done and Magic Johnson has done. And there's only a couple other guys, right? Not only because of that, but because I'm an Orlando Magic fan and this doesn't happen to us, right? We get Shaq, you know, this is before my time, right? You get Shaq, and obviously Shaq was one of these type of players. Like, this guy is doing things at his age that we've not seen before. And he was a cornerstone for this franchise for a handful of years. Obviously, everyone wishes it was longer. You know, T-Mac happens. That wasn't a player you drafted. That's a player you acquired. And obviously, a great scorer and all those things. Dwight happens. And it took a little bit of time, but you realize what you have. We've realized this from day one with Paolo. And the fact that this is year two in the NBA, his second year, he's dropping 39-8-4 on the road against a good defensive team efficiently. Again, my brain has a hard time not just accepting this today, but my brain has a hard time thinking about 5 years in the future, because that, I can't do it.
There's been like some whispers of this really throughout the season, but especially the last couple of days on Magic social media. If Paolo is here long enough, he is going to go down as the greatest Magic player of all time.
Oh yeah.
Like if the kid is here for 10 years, it will be inarguable that he is just going to end up the greatest Magic player of all time. He's that talented. And I know we're going to talk about Franz here, and to me tonight, the crazy thing was they were sort of like okay with Paolo going one-on-one, right? Like, we weren't seeing the doubles. Like, that was reserved for Franz tonight.
Right.
They were like, we are not going to have a replay of game four where Franz has 34 and, you know, Paolo had 9 in that game and the Magic still sort of win going away. Franz, 14 points, 3 of 11, 1 of 6 from behind the arc, 7 of 8 at the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, a block. I don't want to give Franz necessarily a pass for tonight because we needed him to be better, but Franz is not accustomed to seeing the defensive attention that he was seeing tonight. Like, usually that is reserved for Paolo Banchero, and they were just like, if Paolo's going to be the one to go scorched earth and kill us, then we're fine with that, but we're not going to let that be Franz Wagner. So some people are like, oh, can these guys play together long term? You know, they play similar positions and they have similar roles. Like, once these guys figure out how to do this, and once we get some more offense around the two of them, and you don't have the luxury of double and triple teaming one or both of these guys, and they're able to play more freely and they're, you know, have more advantages due to spacing, and they're able to attack mismatches more frequently. Like, we have two like all-star level players on our hands in Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. And to think about what these guys could be 2, 3, 5, 7, 9 years from now, like, I don't want to go to the offseason just yet, right? Because we could still win game six. We could still win game seven. But I'm coming away from this game saying, regardless of what happens in these next two games, I don't care if you lose game six by 60 points. This, like, to have any type of view of this team that is anything other than overwhelmingly positive, not only on what they achieved in this season, in this postseason, but looking at them long-term, respectfully, I feel like is so far missing the mark. Like, we are set up for the next 7 to 12 years with these two guys. I'll throw Jalen Suggs in there, whoever else you want to throw into that conversation. You know, there's going to be pieces that are moved around, but we are in such a good position from top to bottom in this organization. When you look at the roster, the long-term flexibility, like, we are going to be just fine. Now, the front office has to use those resources appropriately and has to make good decisions. But as it is right now, in everything that we have in front of us, the future is as bright as it has ever been for this organization. And, like, you can throw any team into that conversation, and I will say, yes, the future now is just as bright as that team that lost in the 2009 finals or the 1995 finals. Like, this team absolutely is going to have the potential to reach those levels, if not exceed them, and win it all.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, we're just a handful of years away from that. I think, coming back to this series here, I mentioned earlier that I felt like Donovan Mitchell's due for a big game, right? And as you're sitting there talking about Paolo and Franz, I was like, you know what? Paolo and Franz haven't had a good game on the same night, you know? Now, unfortunately, that happened a lot in the regular season, right? Like, they would take turns. But every once in a while, they'd have one of those. So I think maybe they're due to both have a good night together, you know? Maybe they don't get it Friday. Maybe the Magic find a way to win without that. But so then maybe game seven, maybe Paolo and Franz have a great game. Maybe it is Friday. Paolo and Franz. All I'm saying is it hasn't happened yet, so maybe they're due. And how fun would that be if we can find one of those, whether it's game six or game seven, that Paolo and Franz go off, you know, and find a way to lead this team to victory. Like you said, future's bright. And even the series, you know, it's not over. You're down 3-2. You get a game at home. You've played really well at home all season. You played, obviously, really well at home in this series. And so I'd like to think the Magic have a pretty good chance to force a game seven on Friday.
Trying to look on ESPN right now, the Magic open -3.5 favorites in this game six. So
yeah, why not?
Well, we're going to be in the building. You, yep. Myself, Luke will all be there for game six, and the nausea in my stomach is turning into knots already. We've got Wednesday and Thursday to get through. And we still don't know what time that game is going to be, yeah, on Friday. It'll most likely going to be 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, so what it comes down to is the Miami Boston game that'll happen tonight. As you guys listen to this on Wednesday night, if Miami finds a way to win that game five in Boston, which would be insane. If Miami does find a way to force a game six, then the Magic game would be basically the Miami game would be at 7, Magic game would be at 8, and then the Clippers Mavericks would be at 9:30. So, but if Boston wins Wednesday, which I think most people expect they would do at home, it would be Magic at 7 on ESPN, followed by the Clippers Mavericks at 9:30 on ESPN. So I would guess it's probably a 7 o'clock, but obviously we'll wait and see how Wednesday night goes with the Celtics.
Yeah, and then I know Kevin's already mentioned this, but after that game, we're going to have another crossover event with the post-game live with the six-man show. And looks like we'll be recording from our secret location again. Shout out to our friend Goody.
I haven't texted him about that. So Goody, if you're hearing this first, I'll text you later.
Well, there it is then. Yeah. Well, there we are. I thought that had already discussed, but nope. All right. Surprise.
Open. He said the invitation was open, so we'll be fine. I just got to add one more thing about Friday, if you don't mind, about this game.
I don't.
I think the Magic have a chance, obviously, to win this game. Vegas does too. And I think that's totally fair. I think the Magic, if I were a betting man, I had to put money down, I would probably lean towards the Magic. But here's what I will say. if you're going to that game, which I hope you are, I know there's going to be a nervous energy, which makes sense. I'm going to be nervous, but I'm going to be energetic. We're going to bring the noise. We're going to do all that stuff. Whether the Magic win by 60, win by one, lose by one, lose by 60, I would just love for our fan base to stick around and like cheer this team off the floor. Because whether they win it and it's a game seven, and they force a game seven, or whether they lose it and the season is over, it could be the last time you see this team this year. And for as magical and special of a season as this was, again, even if we lose on Friday, I think it would just be so powerful, meaningful, impactful for us as fans and for the team to experience just like cheering this team off the court, right? Again, I don't care if we lose by 60. I hope that Magic fans can find it within themselves not to leave early, not to whatever, and just enjoy the moment, like celebrate this team. They deserve it. They deserve, again, if we lose by 60, I don't care. They deserve to be cheered off the floor Friday night. And hopefully, it's the opposite reason. Hopefully, we blow them out by 60 and we get to cheer them off the floor that way. But that's my plea to Magic fans. If you're still listening to this, like 50 minutes into the show, you're a real one. You're a diehard. If you're there on Friday, we're going to bring the noise. It's going to be awesome. But once the game is over, like let's get excited for this team. It was never about this season, right? It was never about this season. It's all about the future. And a night like Friday, win, lose, or draw, whatever, that can continue to lay the foundation, you know, for the positive energy, the positive vibes that Magic fans have shared all season long. So anyway, I'm excited for Friday. I think the Magic can win. I think the sixth man could literally be a part of that. And so I'll see you there on Friday, Jonathan. It'll be fun.
Yeah, you know how I feel just in general about people leaving sporting events early. I've never understood that, but that's a fantastic point. Like last couple of minutes, if it's imminent that the Magic are going to lose and their series is going to end, this team deserves for you to stick around an extra 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it is, just to let them know how thankful we are for this season. And to Kevin's point, this is the last time that you could, you know, see this team for this season. And as it's currently constructed, this could be the last time that we see this group of guys together. Like, think about that. As much as the vibes have been great and, you know, we love all of these guys and we love that they're all friends, and at some point, guys are going to be moved. We've talked about that, you know, all season long. And, you know, there's a chance that game six could be the last time that we see all of these guys together. And I agree with Kevin. I think it would be really, really special to cheer them off the floor and just let them know how much we appreciate them. So, but let's make sure that it's not the last one. Friday, win game six, earn game seven. Whatever happens, happens. Looking forward to it. We talked about post-game live, six-man show. After game six, there's going to be a six-fan show filmed outside of Kia. Game six, watch party at Wall Street, if necessary, for game seven, and then a six-fan show filmed and post-game live, six-man show, all that stuff filmed after game seven as well. And yeah, hopefully we're talking about a Boston or Miami series here in the next few days, and instead of a long summer, Kevin.
Yeah, man, it's going to be something. We're going to bring the noise, we're going to bring the energy on Friday, and hope it's enough to push this team ahead to a game seven. Man, imagine game seven Sunday. Again, if that Boston series ends in six, game seven on Sunday will be at 1 p.m. on ABC. When's the last time the Magic were on ABC? Honestly, this is the first time the Magic have had a game six since, what, 2011? 13 years since a game six? Like, this is not just uncharted territory for the team, it's uncharted territory for a lot of us. Like, how many Magic fans weren't even like watching basketball in 2011? You know, it's kind of crazy. Anyway, it's exciting. Hope we can do it on Friday and force a game seven on Sunday.
All right, that's going to do it for this one. Thank you all for listening. For producer Kevin Tucker, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You all have been listening to The Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoy the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Six Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!